Reish Lamed Beis in Sefer HaChinuch. Shalom Lehach Shul Tam B'derach. Not to cause someone that's unsophisticated, or translated, to error. Now the Pasuk actually says, V'lif Na'iva L'Sit Mikshol, V'Yoreisim L'Yorokecho. Now, in general, Chazal tell us that a mikra yotzim is a pshuto. Tosfos in Yevama says there are three exceptions to that rule, where the drash superseded totally the pshuto shomikra. Other than that, pshuto shomikra always stands. So, despite the fact we know the well-known interpretation of Chazal of lifnei ivel l'sit mikshol as referring to causing a person to violate or to assist the person in the violation of one of the Isurim of the Torah. But that's Torah Shem Alpeh. That does not lessen the significance of the Pasuk, of the Pshuto Shel Mikra. And Chazal interpreted this Pasuk that the belief na'ira lo sitin mikshul, that in its simpler meaning, the pasuk is not only obviously refers to a blind person, chalila, a person to be so callous as to cause him to trip, but it has a broader meaning in its simple sense, that it's not only a person that's physically blind. Every person is blind in certain things in life. Nobody is a chacham in every field in the world, no matter who he may be. I went to a doctor recently, and I was speaking to him, and he said, I spoke to a surgeon, and the surgeon showed me an x-ray, and he wanted me to look at it. So I said, I told the surgeon, he said, it means nothing to me at all. You could show me anything you want. My area of medicine doesn't deal with what that x-ray shows, so I have no idea what that x-ray's significance is. You talk to me, you show me x-rays of a part of the body that I deal with, you know, I'll tell you what it means. But in this, you can tell me the Brooklyn Bridge. Everyone is blind something in this world. So Chazal interpreted V'lif Na'iva L'Sit Mikshol in its simplest sense, that wherever a person is blind, we shouldn't cause him to stumble, whether physically or on advice. And that's where he begins. Though the Hachshol B'nai Yisrael losses L'Hem Eitzarah. Not to give them an Eitzarah. That's also in the simple meaning, I believe, of the Pasuk Lifnei Ivel Osit Mikshol. In a broader sense, we generally interpret the Torah that the Torah's cases are paradigm. So this is referring to Lifnei Ivel, but it's referring to a broader Ivel. An Ivel that we could call as Ivel Bedover, that a person that's unwise in a particular area. So the Hachshu B'nei Yisrael loses them Eitzarah. To give them improper advice. Of when the Yasher Eitzah, we should set them straight to Sheyishalu Eitzah, when they ask us for Eitzah. And what is this? What is the responsibility? B'mashenamin Shu Yasher Be'Eitzah Tovah. What we feel is correct and a sound Eitzah for this particular situation. Sound advice. Shenamar V'lif Na'iver Lo Sitin Mikshol V'loshin Sifro. Lifnei Suma B'Dover doesn't only mean in the most literal sense, which is also true, tripping a blind man, but a person that has no perception of certain issues in life, and he comes to ask you advice, do not give him an Eitzah which is not fit for low for him. And we're going to come back, underscore that word, Hogenes low. It's a very, very important word, as we're going to see. V'amru zechrono levracha, just to finish the paragraph, ayoymar odom lechaveiro, misorach sodecha v'kachamar. The guy comes to ask for business advice and say, you know, the trucking business looks very good now. Real estate's in a slump. So what I suggest you do is sell the real estate and buy trucks, buy chamar, because the trucking business looks good for the next 5 years. And what's the real agenda of the person that gave the advice? The person that gave the advice is anxious to obtain this piece of real estate. So he puts up a front man, And this guy comes to sell his real estate to go and get a trucking business, and the guy that gave him the advice buys it for himself, ultimately. Now, we need to go back. So that's a very, the case of the Safrog is a person that's a very underhanded person. That a person came to seek him advice, for him, what's the best move to make. And not only doesn't he give him good advice, but he deceives him, causes him harm, and for his own benefit yet, for the benefit of the one that's supposed to be giving the advice. That's certainly a major breach of ethics. But we need to go back 2 lines. What's the word low mean? The word low is the following. Someone came once, I think to the Brisker Rav, and he asked him advice. The elders of the town came to ask the Brisker Rav advice, that they had problems with a certain shaykhet. And they were not happy that he should remain a shaykhet. So the Brisker Rav listened to them and said, if you ask my advice, I'll tell you. You ought to get rid of him and get a new shaykhet. He's not really exactly what you want to have as a shaykhet. Subsequent to that, the shaykhet himself came to the Brisker Rav and said, listen, I'm having some trouble with the people in my town, and they're trying to pressure me to leave. Should I leave the shechita job or not? So the Brisker Rav listened to him and he told him, no, you shouldn't leave the shechita job. You should stay in the job. So the elders of the town came back and they said, Rebbe, what happened? We came to you and we asked your advice and you told us we're wise to get rid of this person. So then we started to pressure him and we figured if we pressure him, he was going to come to ask you for advice. And now we came to you and you told him exactly the opposite of what you told us. You told him to stay in the job. So what's going on? So the Brisker Rav said, it's very simple. The responsibility is to give every person who comes the best eitzah for his interests. In your interest, as the elders of your town, the best in your interest is that you should get a new shaykh and get rid of him. That's for you. When he came, he said, I can't look at the town's interest. That's to be eitzah hogenas loy. What's the best advice for him? And all his options that he has, being shaykh is the best for him right now. And I guess he's mekayim the halachas, at least, you know, the shura sadin. He's not machshel anyone. He's not doing a balaveira by being a shaykhet. So for him, the best advice is that he should stay there. Those are two separate things. It's the eitzah hagenes loy. The person that comes and asks the advice, that's the only thing I'm allowed to look at is what's good for him. Not what's good for Klal Yisrael, not what's good for the world, certainly not what's good for me. It may not match up. The community wants, say, Shaykhet is holier. Good. He's Mekayim the Din. He's not a Balaveira by being a Shaykhet. He's a Balaveira, so it's an Eitzah Ra to be a Shaykhet. Listen, he's Machshu people. He makes Nevelas, so I have to get rid of him. Can't stay in the job. He has to be fired. He does the job. Somebody can do the job better, somebody finer, etc., a higher Madrega, but the job is obviously Mekayim the Din. So he has a problem. He has to earn a Parnosa. So he can get a letter, and his options, this right now is the best Parnosa that he has. He has 3 other options, which are basically going to leave him pretty much high and dry. The outlook for any of them is bleak. So the best thing for him is right now is to stay in this job. That's his interest. Just because the town has one interest doesn't mean that his interest is exactly can be identified as that. Those are 2 separate things. And similarly, there was someone that wanted to hire a Shuvan Eretz Yisrael. So he came to the Brisker Rav and he discussed the matter with him. And he said, I want to take this person to be the Rosh Shuvan, the Yeshiva. So the Brisker Rav said to him, I can tell you one thing. If you want to get him to be the Rosh Shuvah, please make sure that you don't send him to me. Because if you send him to me, I'm going to tell him that I don't think the job he's the right fit for that particular job, and he shouldn't take the job. So if you want to hire him for the Rosh Shuvah, he says, make sure he doesn't come my way. Because if he comes my way, I'm going to tell him not to take the job. Not the right fit. Eitz has to be Eitz HaGenes Lo. That's number one. That the word Lo is the Yisoid of the Kiyam of this din.
So there are
times
when we have to weigh the need of the...
That's on the yot, it's halachas. The Sheikhud is machshel people that doesn't do the Shechita properly, then the halacha says he has to be removed from the job. So I don't have to ask what he, if he wants to or not. I have to fire him. Doesn't do the job properly. He's machshel the rabbim chalila. So he has to be thrown out. We're not dealing with such a case. Well, somebody can do the job better than he can do it. Good, and good. Maybe this town should, in fact, should have a more mahudah than the sheikh. But listen, nobody's hitting the Vedas because of him. He does the job. He's not the right, is really the right person. No, he's not the best person they should have. So, Al-Pidin is not doing anything improper. And for him, it's the best thing in his life to be here right now. That's on the... That's something else. Teaching is a different sphere. We can't talk about teaching. Teaching has its own parameters. Because each little bit has a tremendous difference. And even there has its own halachas, which are not part of this chair. Mekayim the din, he has a right to stay in the job. That's his right. They could try to encourage him to leave. Or whatever it may be, if Alpi did, he has a right to stay there, so that's his right. If you know, if he's within the parameters that they don't have a right to fire him, that's all. So they can encourage him to leave and listen. Oh, we want a sheikh of the Czech space. Okay, fine. So you got a sheikh of the Czech space. That doesn't mean you can throw out the guy that's there. You don't necessarily, you know, if he's Mekayim, if he does the job that he was hired to do within the parameters he was hired to do, so you can't fire him necessarily. You would like to encourage him to leave. We'll get him a different job. We'll send him somewhere else. You know, to the next town he's a sheikh. They pay better than we do. Whatever it may be. But what was best for him was not necessarily the same as what was best for the town. Yeah, Rami.
Does that mean
like No. That's what I'm telling you. That's the difference between them. The second part, you're dealing with a real conniver. Or that's what I say. That's why the word lo, because there could be eitzah that's hogenes. It's a good eitzah for him to leave, but it's not hogenes lo.
Yeah, so for people come to me, sometimes I help them with their resume, and
you try to give him the best advice you can. Listen, you're limited. You can't spend. Listen, you can't spend a million hours on each guy that comes to you. So he understands that. You do the best that you can for him. You know, he wants to hire someone that's going to sit and analyze this for you, what he needs for the next 50 hours. He's going to have to pay for it. He's coming to you. You have to do within the sphere that you have the best that you can do. That's all you're able to do for him. Now, that's number one. The big problem that arises that we should address at this point is what happens if a person comes to seek our advice and I have a conflict of interest. He wants something and I want something else. That it cross purposes to what he wants. Oh. So what should I do? So you have to recuse yourself. I have to tell him that I'm not in a position to give you an eitz on this matter. That's, you know, I cannot undertake to give him an eitzah. I mean, someone called me about something recently, and he wanted to take a certain position. And the truth is, I was happy that he wanted to take that position, because in what I wanted in that particular situation is more likely to happen if he took that position. But he wanted to know if for himself it was a wise idea. So I told him, listen. I'm going to be upfront with you. I have interest in this particular situation. And I'm telling that to you now. So now, if you want to know, you have a certain perception, A, B, and C, are they true or not? I'm telling you, I honestly believe that A, B, and C are true. But I'm telling you upfront, I am not a person, I'm not objective in this situation. I have interest. He wanted to hear what I had to say anyhow. But I told him upfront, I have interest there. No, it would have been unfair because the person, it was in fact, a good eitzah for the person. He had a certain perception. The perception was correct. And for him, it happened to be it was eitzah hodenas look. But I did not want to be in a situation that someone would say that I was not objective. So I told him, I'm not objective. I'm telling you that up front, I'm not objective. I have my own agenda here. But I will answer you as honestly as I can, and I believe your perceptions of A, B, and C, you know, if these facts are correct. So that's what you have to do. This is the biggest problem that we have to be careful for, is to make sure that we have no conflict of interest in the case, that we're really at arm's length from it. And if we're not at arm's length from it, then we have to be straight up front with the person. Now, the person sometimes may want to hear our advice, even if I tell them, listen, I'm subjective. I cannot be objective. I'm telling that to you now. You want this? I will do the best I can, as honestly as I can, but I cannot claim total objectivity. But that's what the Ramchal places upon us, that we have to put up front. Yeah.
Can there be times where it's appropriate or you have to recuse yourself, though, to say, I'm sorry?
Yeah, there are times, because, for example, there are times in a situation that I would not be comfortable to speak to a person that's not on the same page who I am, where I am. In other words, I have an agenda, and he's not. And I'm not willing to assist him in that regard. I don't want to assist him, because he's in conflict with, I have a right to pursue my interest just as much as he has a right to pursue his. So I have no interest in, it's against my interest to assist them. You know, meanwhile I was talking to two other people, or three other people, the very people I want. Sometimes I have my own interests, personal interests. And the truth is, I don't want to assist them. I would rather, the truth is, that he not succeed. Why? Because I would like to succeed in that particular situation. I don't want him to succeed. Good, I don't wish him any harm. So I'm not going to give him advice. Advice I'm not going to give him. I'm not open to give him advice. Or it may come at a cost to someone that I'm close with. A relative of mine will be hurt if this guy succeeds. So I'm not going to give him, I won't assist him. So I recuse myself. I said, listen, I cannot give you an eight in this case. You have to go someplace else. I'm not at liberty to give you an eight. I don't necessarily have to tell him why I'm not at liberty. That, you know, could be my own personal thing, business, which really is, I don't have to reveal to him. I could just tell him I'm not in a position to give you an eight. But this is where there's a great deal of trouble in life at this point. Is that to really be sure that we give an eitzah, which is 100% sincere in the Shem Shemayim, not self-serving and not serving any other interest other than what's good for the shayol. The Kotzker Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to put it this way. It's an amazing statement. He says that people think that the ask me an eitzah is a very simple matter. He says they don't understand how difficult it is to give a person an eitzah. And indeed it's more difficult than to pask in a shayla. Why? Person wants an eitzah. So the first question is, someone came to ask me advice about a certain thing that he was into, if it's appropriate or not. And I gave him a certain answer many, many years ago. So someone came to me afterwards, how I had the audacity, they agreed that I was right, but how I had the audacity to tell it to the person. I said it was very simple. He asked me a question. The question impacts on a halacha, so there's only one answer that I could give to the question. The halacha has what to say. So that's what I had to say. It took a lot of gumption to say it, but nevertheless, I said it. Because that's what the halacha dictates. So the Kotzker Rebbe said, the first thing I have to do is I have to rifle through 1,700 Simonim and Shulchan Aruch. That maybe there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch which is affected by this problem, which dictates how a yid is supposed to act. Now suppose I come to the conclusion that there's no halacha in the entire Shulchan Aruch that touches this case. There's nothing in the Shas either, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. But now the second problem, maybe it touches a teaching of Chazal. So he says, now I have to review all the agodas of Shas to see if there's a hashkofa that Chazal articulated, and how are you supposed to act in this case? He says, now, if I can't go through that, and I don't find a solution to the problem, I don't find the Chazal which directly, I can't find the Chazal which addressed that situation, so now I have to give him an eitzah. But you can't give someone an eitzah if you have bias. So first I have to go, and I have to make sure that I purify all my midas, that I have no personal prejudices, After I accomplish that, he says, now I first have to think of some good piece of advice for him too. Kotzka Rebbe. V'zeh alav koylo kamokein mishiyazer oivra avera. So, this Iser incorporates within it a person that assists a person in doing an avera. Shumevi oiso shiyispata bezula zeh alav or pchomim acher moit. That I guess I bring them that without, in other situations, without my assistance, Lavar Pomim Acheremite, who violate the Easter again. That's the way I believe it ought to be translated. It's a difficult phrase. When we say Atzar Omru Zechon on the Brocha, Hamalva Veleiva Beribis, Shishneim Oivim Belif Naiva. Now, what did the Mal, where's the Lif Naiva? Lif Naiva is, I'm causing the other person to sin. And in fact, what I'm doing is, I'm causing him to involve himself in the notion of borrowing money for ribbis. So now, in the future, he'll go and borrow money for ribbis again. That's the way he seems to put it. Now the question about this, are these two halachas, two separate halachas, but they both derive from the same pasuk? One is, I have to give proper advice to a person. That's one thing. A second then is that I should not cause a person to violate one of the mitzvahs in the Torah, two separate dinner, or a one din. It's one and the same. Now I'll give you an example. We'll see this in the Minchas Chinuch is going to go into this, but my Shver, Zolazayn Gesund, always tied it this way. That really they're one and the same din. Right? What's the Shaila? The Shaila is a very simple Shaila. There's a major discussion. Now, lif na'iva, what's lif na'iva? I cause a person to violate a halacha. So ribbis, for example, the Torah says, atikach me'ito neshach b'sarvus. So there's a halacha in the Torah that bans the collection of ribbis, of interest. So if I assisted a person in being in such a paying ribbis, or lending for ribbis, so I helped him to violate an Yisid Raisa. Suppose, for example, that I assist a person in violation of an Yisid Rabbanah. Right? He wants, this guy's Meshugala Yisadova, that he wants chicken with butter on it. Now we paskin, it's a Machlekes Rabbi Yossi in the Chacham and the Gemara in Beyo, that what the din of Bsar Oif B'cholov, if it's the Raisa or the Rabbanon. And we paskin, it's the Rabbanon, it's not awesome in the Raisa. Rabbi Yossi says it's awesome in the Torah. Oif, when it says, those of Asher Gediva Chalev Imo, includes Chaya, includes Behemo, but it does not include oif. Oif is separate. So this guy is Meshugal Oif Hadova. He wants chicken with butter. Now he can't get a piece of chicken with butter. And I have a piece of chicken with butter. And he wants to buy it from me. But it's not Osir Bahano. So I want to sell it to him. Now, so do I violate Lif Na'iva do Araisa or Lif Na'iva do Rabbanon? Which Lif Na'iva do I violate? Now we would say simply that I violate Lif Na'iva do Rabbanon. This whole thing, as far as the Torah is concerned, this is 100% mutter. So how can I violate Lif Na'iva do Araisa? So it must be that it's only if there's a Lif Na'iva, it's only with the Rabbanon. Because the Torah allows this activity. Menat Torah, I could take butter and put it on my chicken and eat it myself. So can't be that the Torah says anything about this. The Torah didn't discuss this. So the inclination is to say that there should be Lifnei Iva Derabbanan, not Lifnei Iva Deraisa. But we do find that others that say there's Lifnei Iva Deraisa. So what's the rationale for Lifnei Iva Deraisa? So Mashrez Zalzayn Gizun said very simply, what is the yisoid of this halacha? Look at a Sefer HaChinuch, the person, Sholahach Shal Tam B'derech, not to give bad advice. Someone that's simple, unsophisticated, I shouldn't give him bad advice. So he says, he asked a very simple question. A guy comes and he says, is this a good stock to invest in? And I tell him it's a good stock to invest in, even though I know it's a bad stock to invest in. But I have my cheshbon, that's why I want him to, you know. So I gave him an 8-0. A guy comes and asks, he wants to eat basar v'cholos, right? Bidar abonah. And I assist him in doing it. So that's any better than giving him a bad piece of advice? I also assisted him. It's not better than giving him a bad piece of advice. But what's the result, the end result of what I did? Did he have hefset from what I did? Did he lose from what I did? Yeah, he's going to wind up in Gehenna for it. So did I help him or did I hurt him? I hurt him. So why is it any different than giving to Eitz Shein HaHogenes? If I give a person a bad piece of advice, what the Easter is because I caused harm to him. Or I gave him a Sarayit B'cholov and I caused him harm. So what's the difference? Why is it better than Eitz Shein HaHogenes? So, yeah. Well, if every leisosa you violate an isa deraisa, that's a very long subject. That's not finel. I mean, there are views that hold that way, but not everyone agrees with that.
Everyone holds that the chicken and butter
is a machloikus. Lahaloch, it's clear. It's only osam adarabon. It's not osam adarabon. Rabbi Yossi, no, I want to explain those that would say you violate lifnei iva deraisa in such a case. Why? So machloek is tanoim if sarif becholov is awesome with the right, some of the rabbana. No, that's a shailen rishayim. Yeah, that's a shailen rishayim. So that's the question: are these two separate isurim, and they really don't have anything to do with each other? They just stem from the same pasuk, or ultimately they come together in but one point that I shouldn't do anything which harms another person. To either give him bad advice, or I give him something with which he'll kill himself. What's the difference? I'm also hurting him. That's also not, and I know that he's blind to the fact he's going to be hurt by doing this. He has a shagat that he wants to eat, sarayf chicken with butter. So why does he want to eat it? Because right now he doesn't see the Gehenna psucha lefono. So he's also blind to that fact. So I know it's going to hurt him. So what's my right to do it? So that's a question, that's a major question that we have to sort out. If this is one halacha, or these are two separate halachas. Shairish ha-mitzvah yadur. The root of this mitzvah is well known. Ki tikkun olam v'yishuvo, to establish a proper world, u'lahadruch b'nei odom, is to give people proper advice. V'losayis lohem b'chol masayim, and to give them in all actions in life, eitz ha-toyva. This is a very necessary part of life. So, ethic which insists that we live up to it, that we're mekayem. Now, there are two different types of situations, and it's very necessary to differentiate between them, just so we get a general picture of what we're dealing with. Yes, sure. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah discusses two types of situations. And we'll use the terminology of the Gemara. The Gemara discusses Trei Ibra Denara and Chad Ibra Denara. Meaning, Trei Ibra Denara means that there's a fellow on the other side of the stream. And he's a Nozer. And he'd like a bottle of wine. But his only problem is he doesn't know how to swim, and he doesn't have a boat, and there's no bridge. So he's not getting there. There's no way. He cannot get to this side of the bridge, to the river, and he can't get it. I have a bottle of wine on this side. Maybe there are many other bottles of wine on this side, but I have one on this side, which is totally inaccessible to him, or any wine is inaccessible to him. So what I could do, though, the other side of the river is downstream from where I am. So if I put it in the stream, at this point, the current to carry it, then I'll bring it to where he is. So he'll get a bottle of wine. So since he is incapable of getting that on his own, that's the Issa D'oraisa of Lifnei Iva. Suppose, for example, that he could go down the block. There are 5 liquor stores on this block. I own one of the liquor stores. I'm a Yid. And there's 4 other non-Jews in the same block that own liquor stores. If I don't want to sell him a bottle of wine, he can buy whatever wine he wants. Herzog, Kedem, Kosher, Treif, whatever it is. by any other purveyor. Yeah, they certainly have no reason they're not going to sell to him. They don't have an Yisrael Lifnei. Well, the Italian and the Irishman down the block, they have no problem with Lifnei. So they're certainly going to sell to him. So whether I sell to him or not, it's accessible to him. But in point of fact, I am assisting him. Because where did he get the bottle that he's going to drink? He got it from me. So this is not Lifnei. Lifnei means I enable, I empower a person to do an Issa. Here I didn't enable him, I didn't empower him. He could have done the Issa without me. He doesn't need me at all. But I did assist him. Now, Taisvis and the Rosh, among others, state, that's not all Rishonim agree to this, the Taisvis and the Rosh, among others, state that is a parallel to the Issa deraisa of Lifnei. Parallel to that is an Issa derabbanan, which we call Misayeya, assisting a person. It's not Lifnei. He can do the Issa without me. But nevertheless, I did assist him. And Tosa says that I may not assist the person in doing an Avera. That's an Issa derabbanan. From Tosa, it seems somehow that it stems from the din of Teichocha. That if I have the obligation to give a person Teichocha, I tell him that this is inappropriate behavior and in violation of the halacha, and you shouldn't do it. He's about to do an Issa deraisa even. That being the case, so how can I possibly assist him when I'm a chuyuf to give him techocha? Means I should try to stop him from doing it. So how could it be that this is therefore the Rabbanan insisted at least that I not, at the very least, that I not assist him in doing this? So this is an entirely new dimension, which the Rishonim discuss, of not assisting a person that's about to do an Aveira. Now, sometimes the problems with Misayeya are far greater than the problems of Lifnei. Because Lifnei, in many, many situations, we don't actually have. Because we don't empower the person to do the Issa. But often the problem, most often the problem, is where we are assisting the person in doing the Issa. Yeah. No. Not every person are you.
No, for instance, so you don't have a list of three guys that you walk into, you have the obligation to be able to
answer. Yeah, that's a field.
So that's
now a corollary of. No, that's a mitzvah in its own right, but that certainly implies that you shouldn't assist them in doing the Issa. Now, in Siman, I recall Reish Ches, I believe it is, the Chofetz Chaim quotes the Tshuvas Me'ilt Stok in the Bi'ar Halacha, that if I know a person is going to do the Yisr, I'm not mechuyev, and I'm certainly he won't listen to me, I'm not mechuyev to give him to Chacha in most situations. So good. So in the world around us, we're not mechuyev to give too many people to Chacha. But nevertheless, we have to avoid the problems of Misayeya. And these are very, very difficult problems. But this is just a view of the responsibility. That's about it. I wanted to give first an overview. Now I'd like to look at the Minchas Chinuch in Ois Aleph. And he's troubled, Loi Lahachshul B'nei Yisrael. Why does the Sefer HaChinuch say that I may not be machshel a yid? And what happens if it's a non-Jew? L'chayra eini meivin kavona sarava machava. I do not understand the view of the Sefer HaChinuch. Why? Shekosa b'nei Yisrael. What are the right Jews? Halo gam l'goy halav d'lifnei yivu k'mavur acharzeh b'dvor acharzeh b'dvor. We'll go on later on, for example. So it's clear, further on in the Sefer HaChinuch, that he endorses the view, which is found many, many places in Masechet Avodah Zarah, that is Lifnei Iver, and causing a goy to violate one of the mitzvahs in which he is obligated. For example, what the Gemara goes into at the beginning of Avodah Zarah is if I sell animals to non-Jews on the day that they have a religious festival, and they're going to take those animals and slaughter them to the Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, "Am I really Lifnei Iver?" So we see this lifnei, the Gemara talks about lifnei. Suppose I take a piece of Avram and Achai and I give it to a goy. A goy may also not consume Avram and Achai. So if I take a piece of Avram and Achai and I give it to a goy, I violate lifnei. So it's mefurish and shas in many places that if I cause a non-Jew to transgress one of the mitzvahs that the Rabbeinu Shalom has given him, I also violate lifnei yivah. That means this pasuk lifnei yivah l'sit michshul applies to non-Jews. So if there's a second limud from this pasuk, closer to the simple pshat in the pasuk of lifnei yivah l'sit michshul, meaning that I shouldn't give improper advice, so how can you say that a non-Jew is not discussed in this pasuk? If a non-Jew is not discussed in this pasuk, then how do I know that I cannot cause him to violate an Isra? So it must be that he is in this pasuk. This pasuk doesn't say Yisrael. Liv na'iv ala sit mikshon. It doesn't describe Dafkam Yisrael. So where would I, how would I push him out of this pasuk? V'shas mefoy rashu ba'avay d'zor avavam and beis v'kamam mekoymas. I can't give a limb torn off a living animal to a non-Jew. For lashon of the Rambam and Perek Yud Beis Merotzei Halacha Yedalit, for a machshu iver, anyone that causes a stumbling block for any person, lo kosav daf Yisrael. The Rambam didn't write in these halachas that it's oriented to Yisrael. Olechalek the lomar to argue the daf gibi inyan dvar Yisrael also lahachshu ben noyach. That only part two of causing him to violate an Isra, that applies to a non-Jew. Avalola inyan Eitzah, but part one of the Isra, which is not to give unsound advice, minol and dovazah, how do we know that in this halacha, they both stem from exactly the same pasuk? So on what basis would we conclude that he's not in part one and he is in part two? Even the akro koyidam avalof, this pasuk is directly referring to a non-Jew too. Im kein auf eight so bemile de alma ganken osr va filo le benoyach, that I can't give him an improper advice even how to live life. But av shmavu ba ba bas, which I don't want to get into the parameters of here, daf ayin al of apostle ramkan halachot et osr lahasi eight to toivu le goy, there are certain limitations about giving proper sound advice. Bikol moko im dafka lasi away to toivu osr. Sometimes I may not give him good advice, that's true. I should just recuse myself. It's a wrong. There's no license to ever give him bad advice. Where did the Sefer HaChinuch draw this distinction? Now it's interesting that he attempts to answer it. If you look at Ois Aleph, he quotes two sources, but the truth of the matter is, they, in a way, they beg the question, because how, if you look at Ois Aleph, the right hand side on the bottom of the page, all the way on the Haminchas Yitzchak Kosav Shemakoyer Shalachinachu B'Sefer HaMitzvah Skad. He took it from the Rambam. Vizel Shono Shehizur She. That some of us, meaning some of the Jewish people, should not act negatively towards other of the Jewish people and give them bad advice. So the Rambam frames it in terms of Yisrael. But the truth is, it doesn't answer the question. It just shifts the question. It's always say, okay, the Sefer HaChinuch took it from the Rambam. So now we'll ask us, where did the Rambam get it from? Back to the same question. So now the Sefer HaChinuch is fine. He took it from the Rambam. Okay. But where did the Rambam get it from? So the question remains. And similarly, the other source that he brings, Ayin Od B'Shari Tshuva, the Rabbeinu Yoyna, She'os L'Hasi Eitzah She'en Okenus L'Bnei Amenu, to people that are Jewish. Okay, he also said that. But the question is, on what basis? And there were puzzles. So the answer is only shift the blame or show us that the problem is larger than just about that which the Sefer HaChinuch wrote. It affects other Rishonim too. Now, he brings a suggestion from the Marshal. L'chayr etzorach iyan divrei ha-Marshal b'yom sheshlomo barakam ha-perak yud simin chav gabi gezel goy. If a person wants to steal from an non-Jewish, kosov da'atarah li'yisrol nitna v'loy le'ben-noyach. The Torah was given to Jews and not to a ben-noyach. Meaning the normal subject of matter of the Jew, of the Torah, is the relationship between Klal Yisrael. Since the Torah wasn't given to the non-Jewish world, so who is the Torah discussing? Discussing the relationship among Jews. That's what the Yam Shel Shlomo suggests, in general. So according to that, you might want to say, well, it says, well, if they will sit in Mikshul, well, it's referring to Jews. That's the one, the audience that's being addressed. I am Shuvat Chacham Tzvi Simin Chavov, but hello, Ra'inu, that Torah also lit Mikshul after Ben Noyach. But I have two questions about it. First of all, it's not going to help us here because we seem a foolish. The Gemara says that it applies to a Ben Noyach. And more than that, it brings into question this entire hypothesis. Because we see, even though the Torah only said, V'lif Na'iv V'lif Sitin Mikshul, but to whom was it referring? To a relationship of a Jew to a non-Jew. A broader audience than the Torah was generally oriented. It was also V'ayin Shom B'tshuva Shadocho Dibri HaMarshal B'taimim Ka'il. He has, in other words, a number of similar problems that Chacham Tzvi raises to push aside the view of the Yam Shel Shlomo. So this remains mysterious, how there could be a point of differentiation between these two parts of the Isser. So that remains unclear how it could be. So we found, it would seem, three Rishonim who state this, but yet we have no insight into why, how it could be true. So that is a problem. He remains with this problem. Now, if there are any questions until now, yeah, but
how about no answer for someone? Suppose you're looking for a job, you know, and someone who's looking also for a job comes over and asks if there's no any jobs available.
Yeah, well, you tell them. No. No chayyus whatsoever. If it's against your interest, they're not mechuyif to tell them.
Will you tell them?
Yeah. You tell them, I don't know. Well, that's, you know, I have nothing to share with you. Power. But, you know, you're not mechuyif to assist a person to hurt your interest. Any other questions, Rabbi Yisai? Yeah. About Lifnaiva?
Yes.
We'll see. He brings them further on. He brings them. One he's going to bring in the very next paragraph. From the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, right at the beginning of the Masechta. Having to do with interpreting the first Mishnah. But that's what he goes into. In the very next paragraph, he's going to go into this. Yeah, very simply. Right. What's the point? What's the problem with giving him bad advice? He doesn't know what he's doing, right? And I'm causing him harm, right? Now this guy that wants to eat butter chicken, why does he want to eat butter chicken? Because he's also blind. He doesn't see Gehenim, right? If he saw Gehenim, if he put on his glasses and he saw Gehenim, would he want to eat this? It's not worth it, right? The stomach ache's going to be too big. So he's also blind. So good. So I'm hell. So what's wrong with Lifnaiver? What's wrong with Lifnaiver is, in effect, I'm hurting that person. Torah said I should try to help people, not hurt them. Right? So that's what's wrong with giving him bad advice, because I'm hurting him. So am I not hurting him if he's too thick to realize what's going to happen if he eats this, what, trace midrabbanan? But it's not good for him, so he doesn't realize it. So I'm also hurting him. What's the difference? That's the point that connects. That's assuming that the two parts of the Easter are connected. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll hold it at this point. We will continue next week, and ultimately we will also get to a lot of real-time situations.
Thank you.